Father, we thank you for the sunshine. We pray for those that are continuing to suffer from the storms that went through. Lord, we pray peace and grace and provision upon them. Lord, we just thank you for the sunshine. And Lord, we ask your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together freely to hear your word and encounter you. And I pray, Father, that you would come, Holy Spirit, and you would teach, that you would encourage, that you would encounter. And Lord, we would have eyes to see, ears to hear what your Spirit has to say to the church today. Let's prepare our hearts to worship with the prelude. Service together, I like it all to tell a story. And our call to worship is "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." And that hymn is based on 2 Chronicles. It's an allusion to 2 Chronicles. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14. 1 Samuel 7, 14. And I've written a newsletter article that hopefully will go out this week. But I wrote my article on this hymn. And it's really fun. I encourage you today to go back and read 1 Samuel verses chapters 4 through 7. It's a really fun read. But you get to chapter 7, the Hebrews have been humbled. They have been kind of shaken. The Lord's really dealt with them on presumption and idolatry. And you come to 1 Samuel 7, and they're afraid because they've gathered to worship. The Philistines are coming, their arch enemy, and they're terrified. And Samuel says, don't worry, don't be afraid, the Lord's going to fight for you. And he offers up prayers and sacrifices on their behalf. And the Lord completely routs the Philistine army in a completely miraculous way. And Samuel builds an altar, and he names this altar Ebenezer. And Eben is the Hebrew word for, Eben is stone, Ezer is help. And he names this altar Stone of Help. And he made it and he named it so that the Israelites could look back on that and say, you know what? The Lord helped us thus far. God has been our help thus far. thus far. And every time they looked at that altar, they would remember, wow, the Lord delivered us this day. And in this hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, there is a line that says, here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come. And all of us, I hope, and I'd encourage all of us to write down, to remember answers to prayer that were just absolutely miraculous. Prayers that we prayed maybe for healing, for deliverance, for help, and God did it. He came through. And we need to remember that those things, because as we look back and remember, it gives us grace and strength to move forward. God's helped me here, so he's going to help me here. So as we sing this song, Come Thou Fount, and we come to that verse, that just gives a little bit of background, because we may not have known what that meant. So I just want to exhort you to remember what the Lord has done. Let's stand and sing, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. My Ebenezer. Father, we thank you for those times in our life that you have rescued us, that you've answered our prayers for healing, for help, for deliverance, for comfort. Lord, you've come through. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are faithful. Your very name is faithful. That's one of your names, faithful and true. You are trustworthy. And Lord, we come to you and we thank you that you're a God who hears prayer. Psalm 34 says your eyes are on the righteous and your ears are attentive to their cry. And so, Lord, we come to you this morning. I pray for every person in this room that's listening that needs healing in their body, wherever that healing is. And I just speak healing to those that need it. Comfort for those who mourn. Provision, Lord, for those who need it. We thank you, Lord, that you are all of those things. All of those struggling with anxiety and fear, I just say peace to minds, hearts, those loved ones, Lord, that we know that need you, that need a touch from you. Lord, we just lift them before you right now and we name their names silently before you. Lord, we pray for Carolyn Porter. We thank you, Jesus, that she's home. We pray comfort and grace on Carolyn, strength on Carolyn. Just, Lord, I pray that she would just, as she's home and she's alone, sometimes I thank you for the care that she does have there. But Lord, the times that she's alone, I pray, Father, that you would surround her with songs of deliverance. You just minister to her. You'd be very near to her. Just speak peace over her in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for Dixie's son-in-law, grandmother, Yvonne, that fell and broke her hip. Lord, we pray grace and comfort, healing, peace on Yvonne, in Jesus' name. We pray for Aiden, that senior in high school from, it's not Elkville, where is it? Is it Elkville? Lord, Aiden in Elkville, the senior with a cancer in his spine that's inoperable. And Lord, we just pray grace and healing on Aiden. We speak to that cancer and we just curse it in the name of Jesus. And we say, cancer, leave that body now in Jesus' name. Pray grace and strength on Aiden in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, that you're faithful and true, that you're a God who hears our prayers. We thank you for Bevan Stein. We thank you for the latest load that he took into Kiev. Lord, we thank you for helping him with his legal woes. And Lord, we pray provision and grace. Lord, we pray healing on his wife, Laura. And Lord, we bless the Steins in Jesus' name. We bless the Waldens and their ministry in Kosovo, Lord. We bless the Waldens in Jesus' name. Father, we pray that you would send forth laborers into the harvest fields. Pray you'd give us grace, you'd give us courage to be witnesses for you in these days. We love you and we praise you. We pray the prayer, Jesus, that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, we thank you for these tithes, these gifts, and these offerings. So I thank you, Jesus, for this congregation, the generous givers that are here. And Lord, we offer these monetary gifts up to you as worship. We pray you'd bless them, you'd multiply them, and give us wisdom in the distribution of them. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing the doxology. Lesson. We're singing a hymn that I'm not sure we've sung since I've been here, but it's an old favorite, and I hope you know it. If you don't, it's easy to get. God will take care of you. But before that, Gordy's going to read our epistle lesson, Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7.
Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen. You can stand, you can be seated, whatever's more comfortable for you. It doesn't matter, just be comfortable, but God will take care of you. mention this today, and it's a really long psalm, and I've thought, well, I'll just skim over it, I'll just highlight it, and I'm not going to do that, because it is, I want you to hear a repetition in it, and this is one of those instances, again, you be free, you do what you feel comfortable doing, but this is one of those instances that I would encourage you, that as I read it, don't follow along in your Bible. Close your eyes and just sit and listen if you're comfortable with that. You can follow along if you'd like, but this is one of those that as I read it, I would like you just to hear it because there's a repetition and there's a theme in it, and it builds. And I'm going to frame it in terms of John chapter 15. John chapter 15, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he said, "Abide in me. Abide in me. Let my words abide in you, and ask whatever you will, and it will be done to you." And that little word abide means to live, to dwell, to make home in. And if there is an opposite of abide, it is this psalm. What does the opposite of abiding in Jesus, abiding in God, look like? It's Psalm 78. And if you've ever wondered, what happened to the children of Israel and why they had to wander in the desert for 40 years? Why did they have to do that? This psalm will tell you why. And it's going to repeat it over and over and over again. There's a really beautiful lesson for us here. And again, as I read it, I just encourage you just to soak in it. Close your eyes and just soak in it. Father, this is your word. And your word is powerful. Lord, your word, it says, your voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. It breaks the cedars of Lebanon. Lord, the New Testament equivalent of that is the word of God is a sharp two-edged sword, penetrating joints and marrow. And Lord, I pray that your word, as it's read today, that it would shake what needs to be shaken. It would convict where it needs to convict. It would encourage where it needs to encourage. And Lord, we would have eyes to see, ears to hear. Anoint your word, Holy Spirit. You authored it, so now anoint it. Teach it. Lord, anoint me as I read. Anoint me as I exhort. Anoint me as I preach. We have eyes to see, ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to your church. Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we've heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should be like their fathers, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. The Ephraimites, armed with a bow, turned back on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant, but refused to walk according to his law. They forgot his works and the wonders that he had shown them. In the sight of their fathers, he performed wonders in the land of Egypt, in the fields of Zoan. He divided the sea and let them pass through it and made the waters stand like a heap. In the daytime, he led them with a cloud and all the night with a fiery light. He split rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly as from the deep. He made streams come out of the rock and caused waters to flow down like rivers. Yet they sinned still more against him, rebelling against the Most High in the desert. They tested God in their heart by demanding the food they craved, They spoke against God, saying, "Can God spread a table in the wilderness?" He struck the rock so that the water gushed out and streams overflowed. Can he also give bread or provide meat for his people? Therefore, when the Lord heard, he was full of wrath. A fire was kindled against Jacob. His anger rose against Israel because they did not believe in God and did not trust his saving power. Yet he commanded the skies above and opened the doors of the heaven and rained down on them manna to eat and gave them the grain of heaven. Man ate of the bread of the angels. He sent them food in abundance. He caused the east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he let out the south wind. He rained meat on them like dust, winged birds like the sand of the seas. He let them fall in the midst of their camp all around their dwellings. And they ate and were well filled, for he gave them what they craved. But before they had satisfied their craving, while the food was still in their mouths, the anger of God rose against them, and he killed the strongest of them and laid low the young men of Israel. In spite of all this, they still sinned. Despite his wonders, they did not believe. So he made their days vanish like a breath and their years in terror. When he killed them, they sought him. They repented and sought God earnestly. They remembered that God was their rock, the Most High God, their Redeemer. But they flattered him with their mouths. They lied to him with their tongues. Their heart was not steadfast toward him. They were not faithful to his covenant. Yet he, being compassionate, atoned for their iniquity and did not destroy them. He restrained his anger often and did not stir up all his wrath. He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes and comes not again. How often they rebelled against him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. They tested God again and again and provoked the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power or the day he redeemed them from the foe, when he performed his signs in Egypt and his marvels in the fields of Zoan. He turned their rivers to blood so that they could not drink of their streams. He sent among them swarms of flies which devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them. He gave their crops to the destroying locust, and the fruit of their labor to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail, and their sycamores with frost. He gave over their cattle to the hail and their flocks to thunderbolts. He let loose on them his burning anger, wrath, indignation, and distress, a company of destroying angels. He made a path for his anger. He did not spare them from death, but gave their lives over to the plague. He struck down every firstborn in Egypt, the first fruits of their strength in the tents of Ham. Then he led out his people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them in safety, so that they were not afraid. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies, and he brought them to his holy land, to the mountain which his right hand had won. He drove out nations before them. He apportioned them for a possession and settled the tribes of Israel in their tents. Yet they tested and rebelled against the Most High God and did not keep his testimonies, but turned away and acted treacherously like their fathers. They twisted like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places. They moved him to jealousy with their idols. When God heard, he was full of wrath, and he utterly rejected Israel. He forsook his dwelling at Shiloh, the tent where he dwelt among mankind, and delivered his power to captivity, his glory to the hand of the foe. He gave his people over to the sword and vented his wrath on his heritage. Fire devoured their young men, and their young women had no marriage song. Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord awoke us from sleep like a strong man shouting because of wine, and he put his adversaries to rout. He put them to everlasting shame. He rejected the tent of Joseph. He did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but he chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loves. He built his sanctuary like the high heavens, like the earth which he founded forever. He chose David his servant and took from him the sheepfolds. From following the nursing ewes, he broke brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance. With upright heart, he shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hand. Right there, you want to know the whole history of the Old Testament, the cycles that the Hebrews went through. It's right there. Did you hear a theme in it? What did they continually do? They continued to forget what God had done for them. God did miraculous things. I just want to highlight those quickly for us. And what is the practical implication for that for us today? David, we're not sure if David wrote this. It says this is a maskil of Asaph. So the psalmist writes the psalm. His purpose is found in verses 4 through 7. 4 through 8. He's writing this psalm so that they would tell their children, so that they would not forget. And he's exhorting the parents and the grandparents, hey, you need to say, you need to recount to your children what God has done so they will not forget. That is his purpose. That the next generation, verse 6, might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. That's his purpose. And all of us, as people, as parents, as grandparents, as aunts and uncles, we need to be sharing with the young ones the wondrous deeds of the Lord. They are watching us. They're watching us. And if any of you have had children, you know that they soak things up like a sponge. Sometimes things we wish they wouldn't soak up, they do, because they'll say words out in public that we're like, oh. They're watching, and they're listening. And our lives are a testimony to them. We need to be telling them the stories, but we need to be living the stories. And we need to get our own relationship with Jesus right, because we're to be witnesses to the young ones, to everybody, but especially to the young ones. What happens? The psalmist is going. What happens to these people on their journey with God? Psalm 78, verse 10. They don't keep his covenant. They refuse to walk according to the law. They're completely rebellious. God tells them things, and this is what they need to do, and nope, they forget, and they just like, we're going to do our own thing. We're not going to do, God, what you want us to do. We're doing our own stuff. We're doing our own thing. Verse 11, they forgot his works and the wonders that he had shown them. And just a reminder, then the psalmist goes back in verses 13 through 16. What did God do for them? Look at what he did. He divided the sea. He delivered them miraculously from Egypt. And he recounts it over and over again in the psalm. He divided the sea. He let them pass through. He made the water stand like a heap. And not only were they able to pass through, but the ground where this water had been was completely dry ground. And they were able to pass through. It was an absolutely miraculous deliverance. He did it. He divided the sea. He led them by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He split rocks in the wilderness and gave them water to drink. And yet were they grateful? Thank you, God, for what you've done. Thank you, Jesus. Did they have an Ebenezer? Did they look back and say, God, you've been faithful this far? You're going to... No, they're like, well, you did that, but we're going to starve. And now we're gonna starve. We're not going to have drink. You've let us out here to kill us. How ungrateful are they? Verse 17, they sinned more against him. They tested God in their heart. They spoke against God. How many times do we do that? God delivers us, and yet we're like, God, well, can you do this thing? God, you provided for me here, but I don't know about this thing. Can you provide for me now? God, you were faithful here, but I don't know about this. Y'all, if we're honest, we're just like them. We're just like them. We forget, and we're not grateful, and we test him, and we complain. Verse 22, they did not believe in God. They did not trust in his saving power. I'm going to come back to that, but that's the crux of the matter. The crux of the matter, what's the opposite of abiding in Jesus? The opposite of abiding in Jesus is not believing. It's unbelief and not trusting. And we're striving and we're fretting and we're anxious. Verse 22, they did not believe in God and they did not trust his saving power. And let's look. Verse 32, what else is going on with their hearts? In spite of all this, they still sinned. Despite his wonders, they did not believe. Verse 37, their heart was not steadfast toward him. They were not faithful to his covenant. Verse 42, they did not remember his power or the day when he redeemed them from the foe. Verse 57, that they turned away and acted treacherously like their fathers. They twisted like a deceitful bow. Wow. I want to talk about that because that's such a powerful image. They twisted like a deceitful bow. That little word for twisted, it means to backslide. It means that they were going one way, okay? They're going one way, and then they turn and they go another way, and they become twisted. They twisted like a deceitful bow. They turned. They turned away. And as I was reading the psalm, I read the psalm a few weeks ago, and as I was reading it, it just struck me the issues of the heart. The issues of the heart. And what did Jesus come to do? Because all of us have hearts just like they had. We forget what God has done. We grumble. We complain. We are not grateful. We doubt God. We're in unbelief. And what was one of the few things that made Jesus really angry? much do we really encounter that? We've made church just 1 hour a week, coming and doing our little whatever we do, but we don't encounter the living God, the Holy One of Israel, who loves us, who came to give us abundant life, who wants us to know his joy and know his peace and know his life. Know his life. Again, look at these scriptures in Psalm 78. They did not believe in God, and they did not trust his saving power. They did not remember his power or the day he redeemed them from the foe. Today, we're going to remember his redeeming power. They were looking back on their deliverance from Egypt. But on this side of the cross, we remember God's saving power when he sent his son. When we were in rebellion and sin and death and caught in sin cycles, Jesus, God the Father, sent his son Jesus because he loves us. And he wants to rescue us from sin. He wants to rescue us from death. He wants to rescue us from our own rebellion, from our own selves, from hopelessness and despair. I love it when Paul says, when we lose loved ones, we grieve. But we grieve as people who have hope. We have hope. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter is exhorting us about the hope we have in Jesus. And it's a living hope. 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he caused us to be born again to a living hope. Not a dead hope. Not a hope that's way out there, but it's a living hope. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We're waiting for the fullness of our salvation. We've received salvation if we believe in Jesus. We're born again, and we rejoice in that. But there's an element that we live in a dark world. We live in a fallen world where there's sin, there's death, and disease. So we rejoice in that. But Peter is saying that you're being guarded through for salvation is ready to be fully revealed in the last time. So this salvation that we have, we rejoice now, but we rejoice in the fullness of it that's coming. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In Psalm 78, God has delivered them, but they weren't thinking ahead. God, you're faithful, you're trustworthy. But Peter is saying, you know what? Through Jesus Christ, we've tasted it, we've seen it. There's more yet to come, and we're going to trust him. We're going to abide in him. We're going to rest in him. We're going to remember his promises. We're going to remember when he's delivered us. We're going to remember that because his name is trustworthy and true. And Peter's saying so that when you've been tested by these trials, your faith may be proved genuine, and it's going to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation in Jesus Christ when we see him face to face. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. How is your heart this morning? How is your heart this morning? Could you relate a little too much to Psalm 78? If that's where you are, that's okay. That's all right. God wants to call us up, though. He wants to call us up and say, all right, don't be like them. Repent. If you're in hopelessness and despair and you're grumpy and you're agitated, just come to Jesus. Be honest with him about it. Lord, this is where I'm at. My life's hard right now. I don't like the situation I'm in. I don't like it. getting ready to celebrate. Jesus loves you. He sees you. He's never going to leave you, and he's never going to forsake you. We have been born again. The wrath that's talked about in Psalm 78, Jesus dealt with that at the cross. The wrath that we deserved was put on him. Thank God. When we were rebellious and stubborn and lost in sin, he died for us. And that proves his love for us, that when we were yet sinners, he still loves us. And his love is with us today. And he wants us to trust him. Yes, things are hard. Yes, they're probably going to get darker in this season in our nation and the world that we're in. But are we going to complain about it? Are we going to despair? I hope we're going to be like 1 Peter, that we're going to rejoice with an expressible and inexpressible and glorious joy because of what Jesus did and what he's fullness of what he's going to do when he returns. He's going to set it all straight. He's going to set it all right. How is your heart this morning? How is your heart? There was an old Petra song that back, I don't know, was it the 80s? 80s, early 90s? I had this song I printed it all up. This was before you had a computer and you could look up the words. And I printed out, I copied it, and I put it on my closet in my dorm in college. Don't let your heart be hardened. Don't let your love grow cold. May it always stay so childlike. May it never grow too old. Don't let your heart be hardened. May you always know the cure. Keep it broken before Jesus. Keep it thankful, meek, and pure. May it always feel compassion. May it be as one with God's. May it never be contrary. May it never be at odds. May it always be forgiving. May it never know conceit. May it always be encouraged. May it never know defeat. May your heart be always open, never satisfied with right. May your heart be filled with courage and be strengthened with all might. Let his love rain down upon you, breaking up your fallow ground. Let it loosen all the binding till only tenderness is found. Is your heart hard this morning? Did you relate a little too well with the rebellion, the complaining, the hardness of heart in Psalm 78? Let's come to Jesus today and let's let him soften our heart with his love. He's given us his Holy Spirit. It's his Holy Spirit that sheds abroad the love of Jesus in our hearts. He didn't die for us just to come and spend an hour every week and then us run along our way and do what we want to do. No, Jesus died because he wants a relationship with you. He wants to encounter you. He wants to abide with you. He wants to be and walk with you every moment of every day. He will sing to you songs in the night. He will come alongside you when you're in the kitchen. He will come alongside you when you're outside working in the yard because he's a friend. He's a friend, and he has called us his friends, and he just wants us to come. Remember this morning this beautiful Savior who loves you, this beautiful Savior who came to earth and died on the cross for your sins. He wants to be your friend, and he wants us to believe in him, to trust in him, to abide in him. He wants us to rejoice in him and have hope. Be filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy because we are receiving the outcome of our faith, the salvation of our souls. David said, he said, taste and see that the Lord is good. My prayer for all of us this morning as we remember what Jesus has done is that truly we would taste his goodness. We would taste his love. The Spirit of God would come in and breathe upon us. He wants to encounter us. He's waiting for an invitation. I want us to be quiet for a moment. And I want you all to remember, what is a situation in your life that you were really overwhelmed and you were were scared, and you just felt like, Lord, if you don't come through for me, I'm going to die. If you don't do something for me, I need you. I want you to remember a time when you were touched. The Lord just came in and he touched you. Maybe he gave you joy. Maybe he gave you peace. Maybe you just sensed his presence. I want to be quiet, and I want you to remember those things. I want you just to remember where you were. Just close your eyes right now. Holy Spirit, I pray, one of the ministries, Jesus, that you said in the Gospels, one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is you would help us to remember. So Holy Spirit, right now, I pray you would help your people to remember. And as he brings those instances to mind, I want you to remember where you were. I want you to remember what he did. I want you to thank him for that. And I want you to think of a situation right now that maybe you're scared and you're facing something that you don't know what to do. Just want you to remember and just in your mind say, Lord, thank you where you met me in the past, and I thank you that you haven't changed and you're going to help me in the future. Father, I pray that as we just thank you, Jesus, for encounters that we've had in the past. And maybe there's somebody, maybe you're here today and you've never had one, and I want to tell you that today you can encounter him. And Lord, I pray that as we remember and we go through this ritual of the Lord's Supper, that it would be more than just words. But as we remember your body broken and your blood poured out, that there would be encounters today, that we would encounter your love, that we would encounter your peace. Lord, we don't want to be faithless. We don't want to make you angry. And Lord, we know unbelief makes you angry. I thank you that there's forgiveness for us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we want to trust you. You didn't rebuke Peter when he went out on the water and he sank down. You didn't rebuke him. He had the courage to get out there. And Lord, I pray that all of us would have courage to walk on the water with you, to walk with you, to follow you. We love you, Jesus. And we want to love you enough to obey you. Thank you that you're a good shepherd and that you're a good father and you want to encounter us. So Lord, these are your people. Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name. Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You brought all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth, you formed us into your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. When you gave him to save us from our sin, your Spirit led him into the wilderness where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights to prepare for his ministry. When he suffered and died on a cross for our sin, you raised him to life, presented him alive to exalted him at your right hand. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. Now when we, your people, prepare for the yearly feast of Easter, you lead us to a remembering of who you are and what you've done, so that we may repent of our sins and have our hearts, minds, and conscience cleansed. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. If you would like to today, don't feel obligated at all, but if you'd like to, as we take and partake these elements, if you'd like to come up to the altar and just kneel before as we do that, you're welcome to do that. Lord, we just thank you for your body broken. And Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you came to give us life and life more abundant. And Lord, be subtle for so little when you died to give us so much. And so, Father, I pray you'd forgive us for our unbelief. You would forgive us for our lack of trust in you. You would forgive us, Lord, for our lack of love toward you, our lack of love, Lord, toward our brothers and sisters, our judgmental and critical spirit. Father, forgive us for allowing our hearts to become hardened. Forgive us, Lord, for not seeking you first, for becoming angry and bitter and hateful, for speaking vile things out of our mouth. Father, we come and we repent in Jesus' name. Forgive us, Father. We thank you, Jesus, that you bore our penalty. Forgive us, Lord, for lying lips, for accusing lips, for partnering with the slanderer, an accuser of the brethren. Father, we repent and we renounce that in Jesus' name. Forgive us for being afraid. Forgive us for not trusting you. Forgive us for not seeking you first. Father, we repent and we turn. We don't want to become like a twisted bow, but Lord, we want to be a straight arrow in your quiver. Thank you, Jesus, for bearing the penalty for our sins. Thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you for your love. And we receive, Lord, the life that you came to give us. We thank you, Jesus. We receive it now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you so much for the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus that forgives, that makes us whole, that forgives all of our sins, that heals all of our diseases. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for the blood, Jesus. Thank you that our eternal song around the throne is worthy as the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We just thank you. Our hearts are overwhelmed with thankfulness. We just thank you. We receive forgiveness. We receive healing. Everything you died to give us, Lord, through your blood, as we take it, we remember. just receive that right now. We receive it by faith in Jesus' name. God of all hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Thank you, Jesus, that we've been begotten again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. May we be a people of hope. May we be a people of resurrection. Lord, help us to see with your eyes those around us that need a touch from you, and may the kingdom of God come through us. May we be witnesses to our children, to our grandchildren.